It's time for Real Estate Roundup. This is the time every single week we get together with noted real estate agent Terry Story. Terry is a 29-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton, Florida. Welcome back to the show, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.
So I understand it's tough for millennials out there.
Ah, the millennials. It's tough for everyone, Steve.
It is. A little tougher for millennials. Why?
It is. Okay, so here's the deal with the millennials. A lot of them have student debt. Do you realize that the median student debt is $41,000?
Yeah, wow.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, and it means that if you're paying off your student debt and it's costing you $300, $400 a month, that's less money that you could use either to put down, you could have saved that money, or you can afford on a monthly basis.
That's right. So that's what's really squeezing them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's hard. And then, we've talked about this multiple times. You've got rising interest rates. The pricing of home is going up faster than the incomes.
Yeah.
So all of that combined.
We actually have a stat for that. So between 2011 and 2017, home prices grew 48%, while income for all age groups rose only 15%.
Yeah. So that shows you right there, the squeeze.
The squeeze.
The squeeze.
Yeah. So there's less housing available.
That's right.
So that puts more pressure on. And so prices are rising, interest rates are rising. And if you're burdened with student debt, then you kind of severely limit what you can buy.
That's right. And, the median age of a millennial purchasing is 32 years. So that's
what?
I don't know. I bought mine before 32.
You did? You think
that's
a little older? No, I think I bought my first house in my early 30s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Actually, you know what? Speaking of first-time home buyers, I just did sell homes to first-time home buyers, and both of them were in their early 30s.
But, I bought a townhouse that I could afford when I was...
Oh, no. You did it wrong.
No, it was a great townhouse. I love this townhouse, but, it was a townhouse with a pool, and it was enough for me.
Now, if you wait long enough and you get married and you collect all this money and... You buy that first house and you get other people to help you subsidize it.
Oh,
it's great.
I see. So you don't. You, I don't want to go there. Yeah. All right.
We're in Boca.
Well, no, I get it. So you're saying that there's this big desire to own a house and buying a townhouse is kind of beneath.
No, actually, in many cases, it is from what I see in my marketplace.
Yeah.
But no, absolutely, that's not a bad way to go. Buy something that you can afford. Live in it for a few years. Actually, I would suggest if you ever buy something, plan on owning at least 5 years so that you have the appreciation to get out of it to cover all your costs.
It's been my experience, though, all those years that I owned townhouses and a house, I never made any money. South Florida was not good for that. And it used to really irk me because people come down from New York and they'd be living in these, three bedroom, two baths, and it'd be worth $1.5 million.
I know.
They'd come down, they'd buy these
and they paid
huge...
$30,000 for it and only owned it 5 years. I've heard all those stories.
Well, yeah. But they'd come down here and it would be like in a wonderland for them.
Right.
They'd buy these huge homes for $700,000, which
McMansions.
Was a fortune to me back then.
Yep.
And they still have $800,000 left over. Why?
And then they retire and they come down live down here. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
The good old days.
So you've sold to millennials recently. I know you mentioned new home buyers, but what was that experience actually like?
It was so awesome. I love first-time home buyers. They're so energetic and enthusiastic about their home purchase. They're very flexible.
Mm.
Because the inventory levels are so low, the one customer, he's like, I don't care anymore. Just find me a house.
Uh-huh.
And it's fun and exciting. And then the other couples, same thing. They had been looking for a while. And interestingly enough, I don't know if you're aware of it, but they have these doctor programs. And if you're a doctor, you have special financing. So speaking of the student loan debt, a young doctor coming out of his residency has a ton of debt. And there are special mortgage programs that allow them to obtain a nice size mortgage to buy a nice home because they know that they have the ability to pay back and do pay back.
Yeah. Yeah. But the rest of the world does not.
That's just
that.
The doctor program.
Yeah, so be careful when you go and you're sending your kid to school. Make sure they're getting a degree that's monetizable, right?
That's true.
And there's many that are not. So be very cognizant of that, of spending a lot of money for college and coming out with a degree that you can't earn it back.
Right.
Wow. The other thing I wanted to talk about is this idea that people who are buying now are feeling a little bit nervous. And here's what I mean. if you bought back in 2005 when things were churning and they were at their high, there was a lot of excitement in the air. And then, you know, unfortunately, you paid a very high price for it. And of course, then the real estate crash came and right. you managed to live through that. Or maybe you went and you started to rent or something of that nature as the years went on. Now we're back. The cycle's gone down. Now its cycles come back up. Prices are at or higher than the levels that were in 2005. And I think some people are thinking, yikes, what if I'm doing this again?
Yeah. And you see that and you sense that a lot of, you know, talking to customers and clients, they anticipate there's going to be a pullback.
Yeah.
And I keep, you know, looking around and saying, well, based on what?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the economy's growing. And we talked about it. It's all about affordability.
Yes.
So, you know, if the prices go up too high, then the interest rates are going to fall because, you know, it's all about supply and demand.
Well, you know, the interest rates are based upon supply and demand in the economy with regards to inflation and the like, not supply and demand in the housing
That's
market
correct.
So much, right? But I get your point. So the idea, though, is that it's a good thing to buy a house. It has a lot of positive characteristics or attributes to it. You're in a stable home, you're in a good neighborhood, you'll make friends, your kids will make friends and all of that. It has a lot of strong possibilities.
That's right. And home purchases should be long-term investments.
Yeah.
They really shouldn't be, I'm going to buy a house and live in it for 2 years.
Yeah.
It's too expensive. It really should be at least 5 years.
Yeah. And I would not count on capital appreciation. If you get it, good. But
right.
in the meantime, you're paying down your mortgage. And if you stay in long enough, you're going to be building equity. And that building equity is where a lot of people get their wealth.
That's right. There's nothing that says you should turn around and be able to make a profit.
That's right. There's nothing. Remember that, everybody.
Yes.
It's not part of buying a home. It's nice, but it's not necessarily part of buying a home.
That's right.
Okay. My guest, as always, is Terry Story, a 29-year veteran with Keller Williams, located in Boca Raton, Florida. And she can be found at terrystory.com. Thanks, Terry.
Thanks for having me, Steve.